I want to talk to you about rebellion this morning and just what the Lord would say to us in this service. So Hebrews 3, 7 to 19. That is why the Holy Spirit says, "Today when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them and I said, 'Their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them.' So in my anger I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says, 'Today when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled.' And who was it who rebelled against God? Even those that heard His voice. Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when He took an oath that they would never enter His rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed Him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter His rest. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. And Lord, I just want to be used of You, Lord, to speak what You want to speak. And so, Lord, would You just guide my lips today and my mouth today? That, Lord, I would speak those words that You want to communicate to us today. That, Lord, we might be drawn closer to You. Because, Lord, that's Your heart's desire at all times. That, Lord, as Your word would speak to us, that Your word would also draw us closer to You. And, God, we want to be closer to You. We want to experience more of You. And so, Lord, I just pray that over all this body, whether, Lord, people are brand new here today for the first time, or, Lord, whether this has been their church all their life. That, Lord, You would speak fresh into our lives here today, and You would draw each one of us closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to talk about an unusual subject, the subject of rebellion. Now that's really been on my heart now for a few months, and I just haven't felt released to speak on it. And so finally this week it just kind of came and just flowed out that I was able to write this message. And it's rather from a very serious portion of Scripture. And it deals with the author warning the Jewish believers of the dangers of rebellion that can lead us to falling away from God. The Jewish believers that the author was writing to were tempted to go back to Judaism, thinking that they would be better off and free from the persecution that they were experiencing. And after all, in their own mindset, they were thinking, well, it's the same God, so what does it really matter? And the author quickly reminds them that, yes, it may be true that you would experience less persecution, but at what price? For going back to Judaism would be denying that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God that had been sent into the world to die for our sin. So that decision to go back would be a disaster spiritually for them, just as it would be for any of us that may be thinking of the same thing, that maybe it would be better if I went back to the world. So this author, I believe, speaking to us, I believe it was the Apostle Paul. That's kind of out there for the discussion, but I kind of think that it was. And he's encouraging us and warning us to stay faithful to the end. Because there's something he wants to stress to us, that we may not miss what God has for us. And that they himself, as he was talking about, that you may not miss the promised land, which was referring to heaven. He then refers to this story of Israel getting ready to enter the promised land. So he's going back to the beginning of the Bible, or close to the beginning of the Bible, Exodus chapter 17. And as Israel was going in the into the wilderness on their journey to go to the promised land, we see that they first came upon there's no water. And even though they had seen the deliverance of God, even though they had crossed the Red Sea, they didn't have the faith to believe God for water. And they began to rebel against God. They began to say, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back with what we had before. And they began to rebel against God and Moses. And that rebellion caused them to miss the opportunity to get into the promised land. And they had to wander in the desert for 40 years until that generation died off. And then the next generation was the generation that went into the promised land. All because of rebellion. Now, interesting, as Paul wrote this, the Jewish believers were now living at a stage where it was 40 years since the death and resurrection of Christ. So their ancestors 40 years ago had rejected Christ and had crucified him. And now they're 40 years later, they're at the same point making a pivotal decision of whether or not they're going to serve God or choose not to serve God. 40 years is a significant thing in the Bible. And very interesting that choices, decisions, changes take place in every 40-year cycle. And it's kind of interesting, as I was thinking about those 40 years, that we as a church, we're in another 40-year cycle. This church was established in 1940 as Pentecost began to come into this area. And actually a little bit, even though our church was established then, there was meetings that were taking place in our community before 1940. So if you took that into place, we would be basically in a 80th year here is a congregation, which is a second of 40 years. And so like the Jewish believers in this text, we need to count that cost, especially considering we're entering in another very spiritual time of significance for us, that we're entering into another 40 years. And so just as the voice of the Holy Spirit was calling out to those Jewish people 40 years after the death and resurrection of Christ, I believe that the Lord is calling out to us as well. And he wants us to enter into his promises that have been spoken over this area, that have been spoken over this church. And I really believe that time is here. I really believe that we are about to enter into a time of unprecedented miracles, signs, wonders, salvations that have not been seen in Canada or in any area before. But before that happens, God is wanting to check our hearts. God is wanting us to look at ourselves and to see if there's any rebellion that may be within us. We don't want to make the mistake of others who have missed what God wanted to do in their life and land. And it's kind of, it's kind of like the last test to overcome and to deal with before we experience those promises that have been spoken over us, spoken over our lives, spoken over our church. And so this morning, I want to take a fresh look at this warning against rebellion. And every time you say that word, it just rings inside of you that that's not a good word. And that's true. You will realize as we go through this message, it's not a good word. We do not want to have rebellion in our hearts. We do not want to have any, even a hint of rebellion inside of us, because it can cause us to miss or be disqualified from reaching those promises that God has spoken over our lives, and I believe over this church and over this area. So I want to take a look at this warning against rebellion. That's just that we might remind ourselves in a way that we might also examine ourselves this very morning. So first of all, I would like to discuss rebellion defined. What defines rebellion? Well, the dictionary describes rebellion as an act of violence or open resistance to an established government, ruler, or authority. It is an action or process of resisting authority, undermining authority, being in defiance of authority, and the refusal to come under the authority of somebody appointed above you. Now, the Bible uses many words to describe what rebellion is. And even from this passage in Hebrews, we see many words that tell us what rebellion really is. And we're not going to read the whole passage again. We'll just maybe read verses 7 and 8 here as we look at some of those things that are spoken about that refer to rebellion. And it says in Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, this is why the Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. In rebellion, things such as a hardening of your heart, testing God, trying the patience of God, turning away from God, refusing to do what God says, being deceived by sin, being disobedient to God, not hearing or listening to the voice of God. Unbelief are all words that you'll see as you read that passage of Scripture over again that speak of what is rebellion. Now, we can refer to many other passages of Scripture in the Bible as well, and we could talk about the areas of stubbornness, pride, arrogance, rejecting Christ. All those things talk about rebellion. And all those things talk about, they define to us what rebellion really is. And what we need to realize here this morning is rebellion is not good. And we need to take it seriously. We don't want to have rebellion in our lives. We don't want to have any of these qualities in our lives. We don't even want to have a hint of rebellion in our lives. Because rebellion angers God. And it causes us to miss the opportunities and the blessings that God would have over our lives. Now, secondly, in this regard to rebellion, we need to realize that rebellion is serious sin. It's not to be taken lightly, and it's not to be excused lightly. You know, sometimes as Christians, we excuse our rebellion and sin and kind of deceive ourselves. You know, oh, it doesn't really matter. It's not really that big of a deal. It's not all that bad. You know, God forgives us anyway. Well, let me tell you something. Rebellion is something that angers God greatly. And it can have very serious consequences. We need to take rebellion seriously. Hebrews 3:10-11. It says, so I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will not enter my place of rest. Now, friends, you don't want to anger God. That is definitely not your goal in life. You do not want to go down those paths where the things that you do bring the wrath of God or the anger of God. You definitely don't want to go there. That's not a smart thing to do. One would want to stay away from any form of rebellion in our lives because it is a serious sin. So serious that God considers rebellion to witchcraft. And witchcraft is something that the Bible says God detests. So that makes rebellion a very serious sin. Rebellion is also something that can lead us to that place where we lose out from God, or we miss the opportunities that God would have for us, or we get disqualified from maybe a promise that was spoken over us. 1 Samuel 15:23. It was talking about King Saul and how he had rebelled against God. And it says, rebellion is a sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you've rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. That's not a place that any one of us would want to go. To that place where we began to rebel against God and we kind of get stubborn and we refuse to repent. We refuse to surrender to God and we reject what God had said to us. And therefore, the Bible says he will reject you. So that rebellion is something that's very serious. It angers God. It can cause us to lose what has been promised over us. You know, as we think of rebellion, it needs to be something that's dealt quickly in our lives. And we need to do that quickly because it's a very serious sin to God. It angers God. And it can cause the Lord to reject the promises in the ministries that have been spoken over you to no longer be. It can disqualify you from the prize. So it's not a good thing. As well, as we look at rebellion, rebellion is something that is the practice of evil people. It is not the practice of godly people. And again, as Christians, we often excuse one another's behavior so quickly, and we consider people spiritually even though they're rebellious. And friends, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that there's no place for rebellion in godly people, and that it is a sign of evil. It is not a sign of good. It's a sign of evil. And speaking to the Hebrews about rebellion, Paul very clearly demonstrates that rebellion is considered evil and that it does have no place in the Christian life. He says in Hebrews 3:12, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God." Friends, there is nothing spiritual about rebellion. It is totally evil. It needs to be dealt with quickly in our lives, or it can lead us away from God. Rebellion is a sign of evil. It's a sign of wickedness that causes people to go their way versus God's way. Job 2:13. "Wicked people rebel against the light. They refuse to acknowledge its ways or stay in its path." Again, there's nothing good about rebellion. It leads people away from God, not to God. It is evil, it is wrong, and we must not partner with it, for it will lead to destruction. Proverbs 17:11. "Evil people are eager for rebellion, but they will be severely punished." So you don't want to be practicing rebellion, because it is a sign of evil in our lives, not righteousness. So don't deceive yourself that rebellion doesn't matter, that it's not a big deal, because it is a big deal, and God says that it is evil. And then fourthly, we need to realize that rebellion is a negative experience. And from this text in Hebrews, it tells us a number of ways that rebellion is a negative thing that affects us negatively. Hebrews 3:15, it says, "Remember what it says. Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled." See, rebellion leads to a hard heart. A heart that is closed to what God is wanting. A heart that's refusing to acknowledge the truth and becomes blinded to the truth. Rebellion leads to wrong choices being made in our lives. Now, another way that rebellion is negative, that it actually grieves the Holy Spirit. It causes the Holy Spirit to actually weep. It causes the Holy Spirit to cry. His heart is broken as he looks at our rebellion. So rebellion grieves God. It's the opposite of pleasing God. It doesn't please him, it grieves him. Isaiah 63:10 says, "But they rebelled against him and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he became their enemy and fought against them." See, rebellion, it doesn't bring you anything good. There are no good results in our lives from rebellion. Lamentations adds to that negative experience, where it tells us about feelings of anguish, feelings of despair, feelings of brokenness when we rebel against God. You don't feel so good when you rebel against God. There's a feeling inside of you that you just feel terrible. You can start getting depressed. You start getting discouraged. You will suffer emotionally, physically, when you partner with rebellion. Lamentations 1:20 says, "Lord, see my anguish. My heart is broken. My soul despairs, for I have rebelled against you." So there's nothing good. There's nothing positive about rebellion. It's a negative experience every way you look at it. So you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there, because it will lead you away from your Lord and Savior. Number five, rebellion is a sign of the last days, where people will fall away from God and do things that they thought they would never, ever do. And when we speak of last days, we're speaking of end times. We're speaking of those days before the return of Christ, before Jesus comes back. And I believe his return is very, very soon, personally, is my personal belief in that regard. And as we look at the coming of Christ, as we look at the soon return of Christ, the Bible tells us that rebellion is going to be a very important part that we're going to see in regards to the coming of Christ. That we're going to see rebellion increase in the lives of people. But people are going to be very surprised that they're going to start doing things that they never thought they would ever do. Mark 13:12, Jesus talks about that. He says, a brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. So those results of rebellion are quite serious. Because if we don't deal with a rebellion, then it will cause you to do unspeakable things, like betraying your own children and family. And that's what a rebellious spirit will do if we don't deal with it. It won't be just other people you will affect. It'll actually affect your own family. So the spirit of rebellion is something that's very vicious if we don't deal with it quickly. And ultimately, the last days lead to what the Bible says is the great rebellion led by the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there's a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. Rebellion has its origins in the devil itself. It's something that's very ungodly. And the devil continues to look for people to partner with him in rebellion. He is a deceiver and he does his job very well convincing people to join him in rebellion. And as we look at a little bit of the history of the enemy, Satan, we see that it didn't take him too long to, again, deceive others. He deceived a third of the heavenly hosts. That's kind of mind-boggling that a third of the heavenly hosts could be deceived. But he did it, and he deceived them. And a third of the heavenly host fell from heaven, and he caused them to rebel. As well, we see that it with creation, and we look at Adam and Eve. What happened with Adam and Eve? The devil came again, and he came with them and began to deceive them and put that seed of rebellion in them. And what happened? They partnered with rebellion. They sinned against God and sinned against the Lord. Bible tells us that he's still working. Satan has not stopped working in that area, promoting seeds of rebellion in the lives of people, looking for people to partner with him. And it tells us as we get into the last days, the Antichrist himself shall come to lead a great rebellion. And there'll be many, the majority of the world will join with them as they oppose Christ, as they oppose the gospel. So rebellion is a sign of the last days, end times, before the return of Christ. It's going to increase in our world, and we need to make sure that it doesn't increase in us, or we will be the ones that will do things that will be unspeakable. Number six, just two more here. We'll go through these quickly. In regards to rebellion in our lives, rebellion leads to judgment. And that really should be a no-brainer, especially since we've already been looking at a number of verses which have been talking about that. That, yes, rebellion makes God angry. Yes, rebellion brings punishment from God. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that as Christians, that this is what rebellion does. It's not a good thing. Now, remember what is said to the Hebrews as Paul tries to get this point across to them of how serious this really is. In verses 16 to 17 of Hebrews 3. And he says, and who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, who corpses lay in the wilderness? See, God punishes rebellion. And we see that throughout Scripture. You can go back to the 40 years in the desert where the people of Israel, because they rebelled against God, they did not get to go into the promised land. Their children did. They themselves did not. We can look at the life of King Saul and how he rebelled against God, and because of that, he lost his kingship. Or we can look at Koran and the rebellion of Koran and the earth opening up to take them. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament as they were punished by God. Romans 13, it kind of summarizes it well. It says, anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. So rebellion results in judgment. And we've already heard enough scripture, so I'm not going to go into a whole lot more scriptures out there. I think we kind of got that, you know, pretty good and solid, that rebellion is not a good thing. There will be a price to pay. There will be a judgment that will come against you. And that's not a good thing. But thankfully, so we looked at that last point in regards to rebellion. Rebellion can be forgiven. That's a beautiful thing. Because I don't think there's anybody in this whole place that has not experienced rebellion in our own hearts and lives at some point. Maybe it wasn't in a big way, but I can guarantee that every one of us are guilty of rebelling to some degree in our lives. And yet the Bible tells us, even though it's so serious and bad, it can be forgiven. God forgives rebellion. God forgives all sin. That's the nature of the God that we serve, that he loves us and cares about us, even though we may have those times and those moments of rebellion in our lives. Exodus 34, 6 to 7. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. It's interesting that he would put that word in there again and not just simply say sin. He says rebellion and sin. God forgives rebellion. If we're here today and you're sensing inside of you that, well, I've been a rebellious person, Pastor. I don't know what more I can do. Well, God is saying today, I can forgive you if you will come to me and bring that to me today. Because even though rebellion makes him angry, even though rebellion is something that is very serious to God, he also says, I will forgive you. However, there's a catch that many people miss. Before there can be forgiveness for a rebellion, there needs to be repentance. If there is no repentance, the Bible says there is no forgiveness. Repentance means that you are truly sorry for what you have done, that you're sorry enough to change, that you're full of regret to what you have done, and that you're willing to do anything to change the situation. And that's the kind of repentance that must come first, because only then can we be forgiven. Luke chapter 24, 47, Jesus is talking about this. He said, it was also written that this message would be claimed and the authority of his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Lots of times we just like to remember that there's forgiveness of sins. But God says it is forgiveness of sins as you repent. Very important. Luke chapter 17, 3 says, so watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. And if there's repentance, forgive. Again, we as Christians, sometimes we expect other Christians to forgive us and to pretend as if nothing has ever happened. But that's not what the Word of God says. It says there needs to be repentance before there is forgiveness. If there is no repentance, there is no forgiveness. We need to remember that that's also a truth of our salvation. That we're not just automatically saved. We're not automatically going to heaven. The Bible says you need to repent. If you want to experience salvation, then you need to repent. You need to repent of your sins. You need to repent of your rebellion. That needs to take place first. It's a very important step, because there's no salvation without repentance of sin. It's very important that we repent of our sins. As we repent of our sins, as we repent of our rebellion, God will forgive us. But first of all, we need to acknowledge that there was rebellion on our part and that where forgiveness will flow. I remember a man sharing his testimony and been a Christian for many, many years. And he kind of had one of those God encounters one day. And God spoke to him and said, I want to talk to you today. There's something I want to point out into your life. And the Lord began to speak to him and said, there's a few things that you've done in your past that you never repented of. I'm going to bring them to your attention today that you might repent. And the person did, and they just experienced an awesome time with God and an awesome encounter with God. But friends, without repentance, there is no forgiveness. So that's something that was very, very important for us to realize. Maybe you're here today and you're still struggling in your faith. Maybe you need to look back to say, have I ever repented? Did I ever come to that place to say, Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Lord, I am sorry for the way I've lived my life. It's very important in regards to forgiveness. Now I realize as we close here this morning, kind of a more serious message to give. And Cynthia, if you could come back to the piano if you would, please. But just as this original passage to the Hebrews is declaring, it's time to hear the sound. It's time to hear the voice of the Lord speaking, because the Lord is calling out to us as we draw near another 40 years in this assembly. It's significant timing, and I believe that God is wanting to finish what he was starting 80 years ago. But for that to happen, we need to make sure we don't hinder that move of God, or even worse, miss the move of God, because we've partnered with rebellious thoughts or rebellious words or rebellious actions. I really believe that God has been testing us, especially these last few years, and preparing us for what he is about to do again. Although this move will be far greater, far reaching than whatever happened some 80 years ago. So we need to take some time this morning and look at ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there any rebellion in me? Maybe as you're listening to this message, you kind of got off and you got to think, oh, man, I hope so-and-so is listening. Man, would this ever be good for this person? They're not here today. Wow, that would be a really good message for them. No, this message is for us. It's for you and me. I believe the Holy Spirit just simply wants us to say a little prayer today, to say, Holy Spirit, is there any rebellion in me? If you pray that, I believe God will show you. Whether something small or something big, it's still rebellion. It's still sin. It's still wrong. I really believe that God is saying today, I want you to repent of that today. He's not trying to put a heavy on you and say, oh, you terrible, terrible person. No, that's not what God's trying to do to you today. Please don't feel that. He's wanting to take that feeling away. Where you feel bad. Where you've been feeling terrible. Where you've been feeling, I've been missing hope. That something's not happening right. God wants to take that. But he's saying there's a little simple thing you need to do, and you need to repent. You need to acknowledge it and say, God, I'm sorry. The Bible says in Psalm 139, 23, 24, I like to pray this prayer, especially when I'm in church and I walk around and pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. Point out anything in me that offends you, that leads me along the path of everlasting life. I don't want to miss what God has for this time. I really believe that we are in the end times. I really believe that Jesus is coming back soon. And he's coming back for a church that's ready for him. But as he does it, I also believe there's going to be a move of God that's going to touch this nation of Canada. There's a lot of others that are believing the very same thing, coast to coast. But I believe we're very significant here. For some reason, there's a significance about us in St. Paul. Yes, we may be a small community. Who is St. Paul? Most people may not know. But I believe people are going to know, because God's going to do something very powerfully here. But first of all, we just need to look at ourselves. Don't be thinking of anybody else. You're missing. If you are, think about yourself. Holy Spirit, is there rebellion in me? And if there is, we just need to repent. We just need God, take it. Take it. I don't want to partner with it anymore, in Jesus' name. I repent of my rebellion, Lord. I ask you to take this rebellion from me, and that, Lord, I might be free again, and that, Lord, I might flow in the promises that you have spoken over my life. That's what we want. That's what we want. As I came to the end of this message, as I was writing it, I was really sensing the Lord was speaking, or going to speak to some individuals in our church here today. Not necessarily new people, but people have served the Lord for many years. And that you've kind of gone through a stage where you've been rebelling against God. You may not have been thinking of it in that terminology. You may not, if you grew up in church, you'd remember what that word backslide is. And you would have to say, that's me, Pastor. I've backslidden. I've been in rebellion. I haven't been serving God like I was supposed to. I've been ignoring what the Spirit has been asking me to do. I keep making my excuses. I just sense that today the Lord is speaking to some people here this morning. And He's calling you back. See, God doesn't want you to miss your destiny. God doesn't want you to miss the end time blessings. God doesn't want you to miss the ministries that have been spoken over your life. But you got to acknowledge the rebellion. You got to acknowledge that, yes, there was a part I played, God. Forgive me. So we're going to close with that old hymn, Just As I Am. One of Billy Graham's favorite hymns that he always used to end with every service. And we're just going to end with that beautiful song as well. And it just invites us to come to Him just as we are. He's not looking for you to make yourself perfect. And then you come to God. No, you just come as you are. But Pastor, I'm full of sin. I'm full of all these terrible things. That's okay. You come as you are. You repent of those things. You allow Him to wash you and cleanse you and remove the guilt, remove the shame, remove the anguish, and remove those things that have been hindering you. God's getting us ready for something big. But all of us need to respond to Him and come to Him. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we close. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the God who speaks to us. And I pray that you would speak to each one of us, Lord, in these areas of rebellion. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show each one of us any areas in our lives where there may be even a hint of rebellion. Because we don't want to carry that, Lord. We do not want to partner with rebellion. So, Lord Jesus, today we come at a partnership with rebellion in Jesus' name. And we repent, God, for any areas of rebellion that have been in our hearts or in our thoughts or in our deeds. And we ask that you would forgive us, Lord. And you would create within us a clean heart. You would create within us a right spirit. That, Lord, that we might indeed enjoy your presence and enjoy all that you would have for us. I pray that, Lord Jesus, here today, that, Lord, you would lift off the condemnation. Lord, that you would lift off the hurt. You would lift off the pain. You would lift off the rejection. Lord, you would lift off those things where rebellion came in and they were the results. But God, as we acknowledge our rebellion, those things have to go as well. So, Lord, we break off rejection. We break off hurt. We break off pain. We break off anger. We break off disappointment. And maybe there's some words that are coming to your mind off. Just let them break them off right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you don't want us to stay in rebellion. I thank you, Lord, that you don't even want us to have even a hint of rebellion. That you want to use us as clean vessels. And Lord, by your blood, by your forgiveness, we are clean. So wash us anew in your blood today. Cleanse us, Lord, and strip off these things that have been holding us back, that we might strive forward in Jesus' name. As we close this service here today, the way we usually close the service is we give an opportunity for anyone who wants to come to the altar for prayer. Maybe you're here today, you've never ever expressed faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never ever repented of your sins and you're saying, today I want to repent of my sins. I want to really truly experience salvation in my heart. You're welcome to come. Maybe God's just been dealing with you about something and you just want to pray about that too. Or maybe you just want to spend some time by yourself and just pray to God. Maybe you're here with a need today. And you say, man, I could really appreciate someone to pray for me. I'm going through something difficult and hard. And I could use the help of somebody else just to agree with me. I'm going to ask our altar workers just to come here at the front and join with me. And if you need prayer, it's available. And if you're kind of a shyer person, I just encourage you that wherever you are, sitting or standing, if you want someone to pray and you say, I'm not coming up front, man, no way, then just ask somebody close to you. Say, could you get someone to come and pray with me? Maybe that individual themselves would pray for you. Otherwise, they'd come and get one of us. And we'd be glad to pray for you right where you are, too. Otherwise, bless you. Thank you for coming today. There's a coffee out there if you want a coffee. Have a little bit of fellowship. But as we sing this song in closing, just to use that as an opportunity for your prayer as well. We bless you. Thank you for coming to God's house. We look forward to seeing you next weekend here as well. God bless you. Thank you.
Just as I am.